Welcome, everybody, to episode 312 of WordPress Weekly for Wednesday, April 11th, 2018. I'm your host, Jeff Chandler, joined by John James Jacoby, who is not in front of a congressional panel at a congressional hearing, unlike Mark Zuckerberg.
And if I were, I think I would be doing a better job. I think I would be doing a better job if I was Mark or if I was Congress. If I was a congressperson, I think I would be doing a better job at asking questions and not congratulating him and everything else. Holy crap. Hi, everyone. Hi, Jeff. How are you?
Hi, John. How you doing?
I guess no reason why
I opened the show this way.
Yeah, I guess it's safe to say I'm a little bit excited about the congressional hearing.
I mean, it's not WordPress related, but I saw it was like 5 hours yesterday, I think. I don't know if it's still at the congressional, still getting grilled. But, I've read a lot of commentary on Twitter about it where a lot of people were making fun of, boy, here's a young kid in tech who has a million-dollar business, and he's trying to explain it to old people. But there's also the commentary of, well, you know, the rest of the world doesn't know how this works either.
But that's the obvious stuff, right? Like the stuff that makes the headlines with all this is the obvious stuff, like the booster seat thing is total crap, actually, because if you look at any of the photos of Mark sitting in that chair, the chair looks like the world's most uncomfortable chair. It's naturally no one wants anyone sitting in that chair to feel real comfortable about what's going on. Someone even pointed out that, like, oh, he might be wearing a bulletproof vest. And then someone else says it's just a posture thing. Like Mark Jakewith and I were just talking about like how like good of an idea it would be to have a posture like alignment, like a spinal alignment postures. What do you call them? There's a name for them. I can't think of what the name is. A back brace.
Just like how having a good posture. I mean, that's why we have Squatty Potty. Gives you great posture for when you poo.
Yes, that is exactly why everyone should have a Squatty Potty. But it, those are the things that make the news, that make the rounds, and everybody obsesses about what has nothing to do with the actual conversation that's going on at the time, which is part of what makes me the most excited about it or scared about it, is that I should stop generalizing about all this. Long story short is that even though it's not a WordPress specific thing, it does indirectly impact WordPress folks quite a bit, because Facebook is a good example of a lot of the things that we started off really enjoying about publishing to the web. And Facebook solved a lot of problems by connecting people and all the ways that Facebook has connected people. And there's like no doubt that Facebook has improved some people's lives in ways that no other thing could, right? People cry for help. People get help on Facebook. These are things that have happened. There are success stories all over the place. But boy, is it not a real good platform, like everyone has been saying for a really long time. But people call you a tinfoil hat wearing fool for saying, like, oh, Facebook, and they're mining your data, and if you're not paying for it, then you're the
product.
Yep. And then everyone counteracts that with saying, like, you're crazy, you have nothing to worry about, or everybody has your information anyways. But, like, no, like, that's such complacency and apathy, and it doesn't solve the problem. It just straw man argues away all the points. I don't know. It's really
something upsetting. Else I saw that I thought was interesting was someone went through some of their recent patent filings that Facebook issued.
Oh, yeah, I saw that,
and,
too.
Some of the things they filed patents for. I mean, and really, they're just ideas. They're in the patent process. Doesn't mean they're going to get them. It just means they've applied for them, and they got to go through the whole spiel of discovering the whole process that involves. But, some of those things, the intent there.
I was just really surprised at the number of congressmen and women that seemed unprepared, uneducated, and then like the number of congressmen and women who start off their 4 minutes by congratulating Mark Zuckerberg on his success, giving him like success stories about their family members using it and seeing all their relatives post photos and saying like, my grandkids would, they would be mad at me if I didn't say hello for them. Like what this is Idiocracy, the way that Mike Judge predicted that all this was going to be. It's so embarrassing that elected officials would spend any of their 4 minutes making someone who is in front of them in a congressional hearing feel better about all of the reasons why they're having this hearing. It like proves to me that they honestly just have either literally no idea what they're talking about, or that they are so in debt to Facebook as a platform for the career politician that they are, that they can't say anything bad about Mark or Facebook, because that is how they got voted in the first place, is using that platform and all of the benefits that folks that are able to leverage it have been able to provide them. Like, it just seems so obvious. Like, I hope that smarter people than the folks that are in Congress are watching and can go, oh, you didn't ask any questions. You didn't ask any questions. Oh, you congratulated them.
To the points you're making, how, you know, I mean, they joke around and talk about old people, but now how does the generational aspect and the age aspect play into, you know, I mean, most of the people in Congress are, you know, and they're probably over 50.
Well, and that's, I thought about that too. I think that's like the obvious thing again, though. And,
I mean,
and
what if you had a bunch of Congress people that were, I don't know, millennials in their 20s or 30s? I think it'd be a whole different thing.
It would be a different conversation, I think, for sure. But maybe not. If all of these folks are our age, are assuming that age itself isn't the problem. It is experience with the technology.
Somebody's going to write in and say, I'm talking about ageism.
Well,
or something.
Right. And so that's why I want to clarify that it's not the age that is the problem. It is the technological gap that has happened between 30 years or 20 years or 10 years.
So much has changed.
And so if when I'm 70 years old, that someone wants to ask me my opinion about what has happened in 30 years, I guarantee you I won't have a very topographical, accurate answer. However, and I will share one local success story, is our chief of police where I live retired at 60 years old. And he did a pretty outstanding job. He's well respected in the community. And when he gave us his resignation and asked for his retirement, he said, I can't hang with people that are younger than me. I can't chase down people. I can't sit that long. I can't stand that long. I am not the chief of police that your municipality needs anymore. And that is exactly what I would expect.
This is no country for old men.
But if you're not able to perform the job the way that you expect for someone in that position to be able to fulfill that role, then you have to step down. You have to leave. You have to. The right thing to do is to move on. And I respected him a lot for that. And I have lost some respect for congressmen and women that I didn't even really know I didn't have in the first place. It doesn't mean that they're not great people for other reasons or other ways, but this is the time that I needed them, and I'm extremely disappointed by the results. And I don't think that I'm alone in that. And so
what happens with the Facebook?
And I guess what do we do about it now? What do we do about it now? What happens next?
We let the GDPR handle Facebook. I don't know.
I mean, that's going to help a ton in theory, but we don't really know what happens to our data the same way that we really don't know what happens to anything. It's all This is the thing that bothered me when I went to public school was it's one thing to learn history. It's another thing to have a conversation with me about how you know that this is true. How do we know that this history is accurate?
I don't know. No, I'm not going down that rabbit hole with you for any topic because that is, I mean, that's just that's a straw man. I mean, you could.
Well, I get right, but I'm, you know, we eventually reinvent history and we say Pluto's not a planet. We reinvent history and we say Columbus didn't discover America. We say all of these things that go, well. Let's just eliminate this. We discovered this new thing, and that's
Earth is flat.
The Earth is shaped like a banana.
Yeah. That's a new one.
Earth is banana shaped.
Makes total.
I don't know. What do we actually do about big data and our data being hacked, leaked, mined by it, other than try and take ownership of it ourselves? That's the only thing that I think we can do on the long end of it to protect ourselves. And I'm afraid that this has happened over a long enough period of time, 10 or 15 years, 20 years, I guess, where it's a problem that is unfixable now.
Get off the internet and pay for things with cash only. There you go. Those are my two tips.
We used to call those people crazy.
Yeah, well, no, they were right all along.
They were right all along. All
right, so let's move on here. We got some stuff. Let's get into the meat of the mystery meat of the matter, I should say. We did have some feedback about our show, spurred on by a I don't know if this counts as a compliment because you tweeted it, but you said your favorite part of doing this show with me is that it's just chatting unprepared and bouncing ideas around, which we just spent 15 minutes doing.
It's true.
Bob WP. Hey, what's up, Bob? He says, hey, this Bob. Is exactly one of the reasons why he listens to this show more regularly than most. He says it's perfect in his eyes and ears. He's hoping that he can accomplish the same thing with Brad Williams when he starts up the Do the Woo podcast. Podcast all about WooCommerce. And then Christian Nolan chimed in and says he 100% agrees the authenticity that comes out of the podcast is one of the big reasons he listens to and recommends the show. So there you go. We're doing something right, at least according to those two.
Okay, maybe. I mean, it doesn't stop me from thinking every once in a while, like, oh boy.
That's right.
Probably shouldn't have said all that stuff about Mark Zuckerberg and Congress and Facebook, but I definitely...
Hey, we got a Squatty Potty reference in, so there's that.
Your advertising dollars at work. Fine. You're going to get that check for 40 cents in the mail.
That's right. So we do have a couple of things I want to talk to you about. I mean, there's a lot of stuff going on right now in the WordPress world.
Got
a couple of things I want to talk to you about. Last week, Gutenberg 2.6 was shipped out and it introduced a feature, actually a long-awaited, highly requested feature, and that is drag-and-drop block sorting. So if you install Gutenberg 2.6, there are these block sorting arrows on the left side of the block. So you click them, you can click the up arrow, down arrow, moves the block up or down. Well, if you click and hold on that area of the block, you can drag the block up or down, and you'll see like a little blue line indicator showing, you know, it'll be above or below. You can also click on the bottom of the block area and drag it from there. You can't click on the top, which makes sense because that's where the toolbar some of the options are. I gave it a test run, and in my limited testing, you know, it's the first iteration of drag and drop, at least from what I've seen, and it needs some work. It needs some polishing. Mm-hmm. I found out sometimes it doesn't work. The blue arrow doesn't display. I found out in this latest version of Gutenberg that I created a couple of blocks, and usually there's a plus sign where you can create a new block, and for some reason I wasn't seeing that.
I know, I saw that.
And I didn't know how to convert a block into an image block or create a new block to insert an image. So that was a little bit confusing. This is the nature of Gutenberg. You install something and just got to polish the heck out of it. But the team has been routinely publishing major releases every week or so. So I have a lot of faith in them that they'll figure that out. Also, 2.6 fixes some bugs and some issues I had in my whole rant about my Gutenberg experience. I was very happy about that. Metabox has worked correctly now. and some of the other issues work as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, have you played around with 2.6 yet?
I had the same exact feedback. Like it is a good first strike at getting this working, but it isn't all the way there yet. It's the same quirkiness, and that's the kind of thing that happens when you are moving fast and building stuff and experimenting with things. Is none of this looks 100% done, because it's not 100% done. And so I had the same thing with the plus button not showing up too. It was like, I don't know how I did this. I don't know how to add a new block. And then I had to go up in the corner to add a block. And then I had two plus buttons and two empty blocks. It's like, I'm not sure how I got here. And then I had the same thing. And so you're right. It's a good first blush at getting this working.
The theme review team has implemented some changes to simplify the process. And because of these changes, there is more responsibility placed onto theme authors. So now theme reviewers will only need to check the following items to pass a theme. There's licensing, mm-hmm. malicious, or egregious. There we go. Egregious stuff. Content creation and security. And the whole egregious stuff, you know, that could be stuff that's illegal, dishonest, morally offensive, PHP errors. I mean, it's a gray area on purpose to account for some of those situations they encounter that may need further discussion. Yep. And it's kind of in line with the guidelines that the plugin review team has.
Yep.
So even though the bar has been to pass the theme is significantly lower, theme authors are still expected to follow the required and recommended requirements listed in the theme handbook. Now, the theme review team has been battling the theme review queue, and they've had some moderate success. I mean, in early 2017, the number of themes in the queue dropped below 200, which was like a huge success. People were applauding. But the average time now for a theme is still around 3 months. Mm-hmm. And there's only a handful of people on the theme review team that are volunteering and actively doing these reviews. So the hope is that oops, no cough button. But after the themes go live, moderators will periodically spot check the theme, make sure they're adhering to the requirements and guidelines. If they're not, of course, the theme author will be requested to make those changes. And if they continue not to make those changes, the theme could be possibly suspended from the repo until those changes are made. Mm-hmm. And the hope is that this gives the theme reviewers frees them up to focus on larger issues and working on automating more of the process. Mm-hmm.
This should have happened a long time ago. Like, this is a good change. And this is a good example
Part of me thinks some of this change, I know probably the theme review team came up with it and some of the mm-hmm. ideas, but I also feel like some of the motivation here to simplify it and come down to this way of doing things, I think Matt Mulloway had a little bit to do with it as well.
Oh, you think so? Why do you think that?
Well, I think this was, I mean, this goes back to some comments he made about a year or two ago about the theme review requirements and calling them draconian. And basically, you know, his mindset or his ideas from what I took away from his conversations in the Slack channels was that, why can't we just, let's just simplify this. Let's make it very easy, and then we'll take care of things as they pop up. But, you know, let's lower that wall. Let's lower that barrier to getting the theme actually live on the repo, and then we'll worry about the other stuff.
And that's been kind of the feedback from theme authors for a really long time. So it's weird because the expectations for a theme are generally higher than for a plugin, because plugins can kind of do anything anyways, and themes do start off serving one very specific purpose. So over the years, the process of reviewing a theme has gotten more specific because all of these expectations were put on theme authors to do this, to do this, to do this, to do this. And what happens, and this is, again, a good example of the theme authors needed help, but being, or I'm sorry, theme reviewers needed help, but being a theme reviewer required such a very specific knowledge and skill set of WordPress functions, theming, the expectations, the standards, that it wasn't rewarding for veterans. It wasn't exciting to get started in for new people. And it just wasn't, it was suffocated by its own success, basically. They learned something, they enforced it. They learned something, they enforced it. They learned too many things, they enforced too many things. And then what happens is, because it's not rewarding, people go where it is rewarding. And so people start working on Gutenberg and other cooler, more rewarding things, and fewer people help review themes. And so the even
or, though the theme authors help, end up just having their own GitHub repo and start releasing themes on their own site, and the theme repo would eventually go stale.
Yeah, and you know, you start making your own themes with your own standards on your own website and selling them there instead. So these are good opportunities for people too who want to go off on their own and do their own thing. So what happens now, right? Like, now that it's easier in theory to get a theme on WordPress.org, what do you think we'll see? Do you think we'll see more bare bones free themes on WordPress.org, and then more premium themes again for upgrades, the same way that we have with plugins right now? You end up with a good base level plugin, and then you have an add-on store that has upgrades. Do we start doing that? Do we go down that road? Or is it more to get just to get the backlog done, and then in 10 years we're going to suffocate it again and feel the crunch?
Well, I don't know. Well, I mean, somebody left a comment on here that because of these changes, it'll be interesting to see and do an overview of the progress that's been made, or what's happened, you know, within six months.
Well, because even though 200 themes is still a lot of themes to need to review. That's a lot of code for volunteers to give feedback on. And a lot of those themes were not good. They start off up with, you know, dozens of standards violations. And then there's conversations that happen back and forth that are sort of subjective between a reviewer and between a theme author. And then everyone's, you know, batting heads against one another. And so this is a good move. Like, lightening up on this right now is good for everybody. But we'll see what happens next.
Theme authors who are just, they have a cool idea, they want to get it out there, and sometimes the communication from the theme reviewer just goes defunct, or maybe you're waiting a week or two for responses and tickets. And that was one of the most frustrating things for theme developers. Like, hey, I just want to fix this, I want to get it reviewed, I want to get it out there, but 3 months of back and forth and waiting for other reviewers, and this reviewer disappears, so somebody, a new reviewer jumps in. I can understand the frustration from theme authors.
Yep.
And with these changes, the onus, more responsibility is placed on them. So I think that's a good thing.
Do you remember what the catalyst for some of this was? Like, was there a theme that broke a bunch of sites, or a theme that inserted some code, or what? I have a fuzzy memory of there being something like that, but I don't remember.
Well, there was a theme that was violating, doing something with custom post types, something with the requirement, and they chose not to. God, what's the name of the theme? But they were making $200,000 a year on upgrades or pushing a premium theme. And because of those standards, because they got suspended, when they eventually came back and were compliant with the requirements, they were making a fraction of what before that happened, and they actually had to lay off a couple of people because of that.
Right. I remember that. I don't remember who it was, but that was relatively recently, within a year or two, maybe. I'm imagining something longer ago, like five years ago.
Oh,
or
it
so.
Was Zeref Lite. That's what it was.
Yeah, that's who it was. That sounds right.
Affected 300,000 users.
Ooh.
But
the reality is, a plugin could do the same thing, right? Like, plugins don't have the same scrutiny, but a plugin can cause problems or deface a site or whatever else, no different than a theme can. And so to treat themes different than plugins doesn't seem real fair, because they are not real different from one another anymore.
I remember the argument from a few years ago. Is it still true that a plugin can do anything a theme can do, and a theme can pretty much do anything a plugin can do?
Oh yeah, really? I mean, it's the only difference they run
odd and or what one alters with the display or something. I don't know.
No, the only they run at the same time, right? Like in the code, they run back to back with WordPress and everything else. So there's no reason why a plugin couldn't include an entire theme with it. And there's no reason why a theme couldn't just provide some plugin type functionality and disable themes completely. It's a little crazy to think of it that way, but that's part of what makes WordPress flexible and powerful and extensible and fun. So yeah, there really aren't. The only difference is the expectations. Users expect themes to work one way, and users expect plugins to do something else. But it's all just code running all in line with one another. So there's really not much different.
I expect my WordPress themes to install Bitcoin mining software.
Well, you'll only be disappointed when you're not helping others mine Bitcoin.
Okay. So if you visit WordPress.org recently and you hover over the about link, you may have noticed a new link. You may not, mm-hmm. but there's one called accessibility. So the accessibility team has garnered and put together an accessibility statement that's now published and accessible on WordPress.org. And I'll read it for you. It says, "The WordPress community and the open source WordPress project is committed to being as inclusive and accessible as possible. We want users, regardless of device or ability, to be able to publish content and maintain a website or application built with WordPress. WordPress aims to make the WordPress admin and bundled themes fully WCAG 2.0 AA compliant where possible. All new and updated code released in WordPress must conform with these guidelines as per the WordPress accessibility coding standards. Some current features and functionality in development may not yet fully comply, and known issues are listed in the WordPress track accessibility focus. While the WordPress project cannot guarantee that all themes are compliant, the accessibility ready themes have been checked by the theme review team to ensure that these themes pass their basic accessibility requirements." And then below that, there are links to resources about the accessibility team, best practices, the handbook, and how to report accessibility issues. So, you know, I read that statement and then I think about all the all the feedback and criticism of Gutenberg right now and how inaccessible it is, and wonder, according to this statement, it would appear that before Gutenberg is merged with Core, then it would be WCAG 2.0 AA compliant where possible.
Where possible.
So, that's my takeaway. So, I mean, Gutenberg may not be very accessible today, but by the time it's merged into Core, it seems like it would be mostly accessible, according to the statement.
We were going through this a similar thing with our local library board of directors last night at a library board meeting, where we had to come up and set a policy. And we, like, the WordPress community, we don't really have a lot of, like, actual literal policies. You know, we have lots of expectations. We have coding standards. We put forth a privacy policy. We have the page now for the accessibility statement. But, like, most mature places in the world, like a public library or any place, has some person or a liaison or a contact. Like, if there's an emergency, if there's a fire, if this policy, if you notice that this policy is out of this, is someone has violated it or it is out of compliance, here is the number to call. Here is the person to contact, right? Like, if this fire extinguisher is expired, here's the name of your local fire marshal, or here's a number to call. If this emergency defibrillator is out of service, here is the person to contact to say, we've identified a problem, and here is how you rectify this problem. And so it is when you see how the rest of the world kind of operates, like you, it's a little funny, I guess, that we don't operate that way, and that if we identify that Gutenberg isn't WCAG 2.0 AA, then who signs off on it going into WordPress core, even though it's not compliant with our own accessibility statement? Well, or who decides?
I think we know the answer to that.
Well, okay, so we know the answer to it, but my point still is we don't, there's no process. There's no, and that's for good reasons and for bad reasons and both sides all the time. But we're gradually working towards this maturity, right? Like to saying, here is our proclamation, we're setting this expectation, is kind of a big first step, because we don't set a lot of those kind of expectations for stuff like this. But now, whose fault will it be when it is not accessible? Who takes the fall when this doesn't happen? The accessibility team will get the blame. But who is responsible for letting things violate that? So it's good to see this page, but how it plays out in individual little pieces. Yeah, we can put stuff on track. Yeah, it's never going to be 100% compliant. So I'm not trying to blow this up into a bigger thing. But it is interesting to have this published. It's interesting timing with this in Gutenberg. I agree with you. Mm-hmm. Because of all the accessibility issues that Gutenberg has on GitHub now. And they're going through, chugging away. They are improving it release over release. So this is not in any way a bad thing to anybody, but it's interesting timing. It's a lot of pressure, I think.
Yep. So WooCommerce 3.35 is available for download. This is basically a bug fix release. So there's about 32 bug fixes and tweaks that made it into WooCommerce. Definitely check that out if you're running WooCommerce. And speaking of WooCommerce, they recently published an article, Mike Jolly published an article on how they're tackling GDPR in WooCommerce core. And some of the things they're doing is building tools into their upcoming 3.4 release to help store owners deal with GDPR requests and surface things such as privacy policies on the checkout page. And he says that some of the tools are built already or in progress. And he actually shows some screenshots of what the checkout page looks like. They have a personal data export and bulk order anonymize function. Mm-hmm. So you can anonymize who's purchasing orders and stuff. Custom terms and conditions text and control over the checkbox and label itself. And the other thing to mention here is that they're focusing on a WordPress core solution that I mentioned on Twitter the other day, where it allows guests and users to request personal data and removal. So they're actually working on building a request page, like inside of WordPress, so you can take in requests, you can log the request, you can respond to them, and it sends out a link to them with a confirm link to make sure that, you know, it's them, they have access to the email. Email address wasn't spoofed, and then they can actually download or request the removal of their data. And there's a lot of companies and WordPress product developers who are already working on tools to create data export and import, but I wanted to throw it out there that Core is working on a solution, and I think, you know, once this gets into Core, everybody will, hopefully all the plugin authors will start tapping into it and using it to power their data exporting and importing with their plugins. And just having a core solution would be nice instead of having to rely on all these individual parts and pieces for this. But because the deadline is coming up, you know, I don't think there's anything wrong with individual product developers, because they can move faster than Core can. So if they can get it done and get the importer, the data stuff done before GDPR goes into effect next month, then that's great.
It is great. But it's not the best, right? Like,
I mean, wouldn't the best be having all those product developers go, oh, look at this ticket, and then they all just come in and start working on it and crank it away and get it done?
That would be the best.
Oh, yeah. But that's not how it works.
That's what's happening with Gutenberg. Why isn't that what's happening with GDPR?
Well, I mean, I don't know, at least with this specific ticket. I mean, I should say, I mean, there's a lot of work going on right now with GDPR.
There is a ton of
WordPress.
A ton of work.
And true. Volunteers are doing an awesome job.
And, that is like the weekly shout out to the GDPR compliance Slack channel, because it's super hugely active. There is a ton of movement and progress going on in that channel from everyone in all directions, including Heather, who is on the show, Andrew Oz from Automattic, and a million other folks are in there all the time talking about what and how to do this stuff.
Speaking of Heather Burns, we're going to, between now and May 25th, we're going to have her back on the show to outline everything that's going on within WordPress.
The one thing about this post that I like, I mean, aside from all of it, all of it's fine. I wish that they didn't have to do this on their own. They're no different than I wish that Chris Klesowski, working on EDD at Sandhills, is also working on a lot of stuff kind of on his own. And I know that Yoast and others are working on stuff. Everyone is working on their own implementation of this. And that is one way to get this done. Everyone will eventually show off their implementations. We will homogenize them into what is best for WordPress, take the best pieces, and then implement them over time and iterate on them and improve them and everything else. That is one way to do this. But as big of a issue as this is, I kind of feel like the folks working on Woo have really taken on more responsibility than they should need to here. Yeah. It's not their responsibility to handle the UI and the emails back and forth for worrying about requesting data or anonymizing it. What does anonymization mean? How are they anonymizing it? Is it the same as the way that EDD is going to anonymize things, or that the BBs will eventually have to too, or WordPress core comments? If there is no core functionality for this, everyone is just going to do it their own way, which means someone and everyone together is really owning their own set of problems when it doesn't go well, or they missed something, or they misunderstood something.
Well, I mean, maybe WooCommerce has the team to do this, but I wanted to read this quote from the article. It says, rather than create something proprietary or specific to WooCommerce, our team is focusing on WordPress core contributions so that all users and plugins can benefit from a single Unify system in WordPress itself. We feel this is the most effective use of everybody's.
Exactly right. It's true. And that's, they have hit the nail on the head every time. They've got, Mike's got links to every track ticket, of which there are multiple track tickets that are all about individual specific pieces and everything else. Theirs is like a great first, again, push into all this. But there are at least three other groups of people that are also working on this exact same type of screen, export, logging, everything, either separately in a plugin or on the core ticket. And it just, I don't know. It's good. So this is the thing that sucks, is it's like I juggle my wish for this post to not be on the WooCommerce blog. This post should be on the make.wordpress.org network with an update about how GDPR is being improved and how WooCommerce is able to take advantage of that. Maybe that's what I don't like about it, is that this post is on the WooCommerce blog.
Well, I will say that there is a post that the GDPR team is working on. I read it, and it does a very good job of talking about the GDPR and rallying the troops and links to tickets and how things are being improved at WordPress core. It just needs to be published.
Yeah, right. Because so
it's coming.
I like the content of the post. I like Mike. This is all good work. This is the only way that this is getting done right now. So I'm not negative or critical about anything with the post at all. They had to do this themselves on their own blog.
Some of the other things that are being worked on in WordPress are privacy policy page generators, helper functions to anonymize data, and something I wanted to point out is comment form cookie opt-ins. So the commenter cookies are stored, is pretty much a convenience factor where they're not essential, but they're used to pre-fill the name, email, and URL yep. fields of the comment form when the commenter intends to post another comment. So the suggestion here is to add a checkbox to the comments form that will inform the commenter about the cookies and act as opt-in.
Didn't WordPress used to have that checkbox?
I guess
it was just a plugin for a long time.
Well, I know the subscribe to comments plugin added a checkbox there. That was popular a while back.
Yeah, I feel like there used to be a checkbox, maybe not, or it was probably a plugin. But this is one of those things again. Like that's step one, and I think I should remember more of this off the top of my head. But a
little bit about cookies and commenter cookies is just a little sample of the really diving in and thinking about WordPress and the data it uses and where it generates and the various little places that this is happening. And it's nice to see a team diving in deep to figure out all these little nuances to help with compliance.
Yep. Well, and because of the way that comments are stored in the WordPress database, there is no such thing as a commenter, right? Like you don't get a commenter profile. There is no way to always know that you're the author, you, the individual, you're not registered. You have no password. You're just an anonymous person posting comments. So there is no commenter dashboard. There's no way if I leave a comment on the tavern for you to know it was actually me or for me to see a history of all the comments I've ever left. So
had the same IP address or something else that's tied to you that stays the same.
The email address, an IP address, something. But then what's to prevent anyone from spoofing that and pulling my comments?
Well, that's already happened in the tavern. People trying to spoof as Matt Mulloway.
Yeah. I remember that happening. And if you try to export somebody else's data using an email address, that export is going to go to that other person's email address. So not a problem. It is as much of a problem as it is with any other thing where somebody's email address might be compromised. So that is an acceptable way to try and solve this problem. But if it was IP or name or you had no access to that email address and for some reason you're trying to wipe your identity off of something, there's a lot of ways that this could not be ideal. So it's good that we're thinking about it.
We've already talked about it in a previous episode.
Yep, yep. So I'll stop repeating myself.
Thank you.
I'll take the hint.
Let's see. Anything else off the top of my head? You got anything?
On the GDPR thing, the one thing I was going to say that I don't exactly remember is I remember Heather mentioning that the cutoff date it's not a date for everyone to have all of these systems fully implemented. This is just the date where everyone has to prove that they are working towards having a plan. They have a plan, but the plan does not need to be fully implemented by this date. Does that sound right? Like there needs to be a liaison or some person that is the officer that is named for compliance with GDPR. There needs to be proof of a plan in place, but that the implementation details don't need to be.
Well, I don't know. I mean, the main website says enforcement date 25th of May 2018, at which time those organizations in non-compliance may face heavy fines.
That sounds
to me like you better have everything up and going by May 25th or.
Sure does sound that way.
Bingo.
Yep.
So let's get to our picks of the week. I'll give you some time. I'll let you figure one out.
you stole mine, so.
Oh, come on. No, I didn't. Really?
I mean, that would have been mine.
Oh, okay.
Because I've tweeted multiple times that I like these folks, so that was going to be mine, but it's okay.
So Mike McAllister, he runs Array Themes, a longtime WordPress theme shop. And he's created something called Atomic Blocks Plugin and Theme. So he's really embraced Gutenberg, and he's created a handful of blocks, which are called Atomic Blocks. Things like drop cap, you could do images, things that deal with the content. And he's also created a theme. And of course, the blocks tie in great with the WordPress theme, as it should. And you can actually download the Atomic Blocks plugin from the WordPress.org repo if you just search for Atomic Blocks. And it comes with testimonials, inline notice, accordion, customizable button, spacer and divider, author profile, and drop cap. Those are all blocks that you can use. And one of the things I like about this is it's one plugin, and you don't have to install a separate plugin for each one of these blocks.
Yep, right.
So that's pretty nice. I was thinking about earlier, you know, before the show, I'm like, you know, we've had all these arguments. There have been arguments made in the past about the number of plugins people use on their site. And if every block becomes a plugin, we could just throw that number out of the water, because now people are going to have 20, 30, right. 40, 50 plugins on their site as a regular thing, because maybe each plugin is a block. They want to add a bunch of blocks. But to be able to see that you can add or have all these different blocks accessible just within one plugin, that's a good sign for me.
Yep. It will go both ways. There will be plugins that start with, that have 20 blocks, and there will be plugins that just focus on doing one block really well. We'll see all of them.
Maybe it just starts off as a theme where, okay, we got one block. We'll start off with one block, and each plugin update, we'll add another block. We'll add another block. And pretty soon you have one plugin with 100 blocks.
Well, and that's the problem, right?
And that's,
is that the blocks aren't portable. It's the same problem that we have with shortcodes and plugins, is that themes will implement blocks, and the blocks are not portable across themes. But that will happen too, right? Like, we haven't solved any of the logistical problems that we know we have with plugins and themes in WordPress. We are only building a better editor. And so the John and Mike have both done all the time with array themes. That was one of the things I've said about them before that I really like about the way that they write code and that they split this up, is that their themes, their base themes are good. They're pretty. They are great themes by themselves. And then they have a separate plugin that is the array themes plugin that comes with testimonials and support for this and that and other Jetpack things and whatever else. The theme is the theme, and then the plugin adds all the cool stuff that doesn't belong in a theme. And I like that they do that, because that is harder to do. It's risky, because some folks will not install that plugin. They'll install the theme, not go the extra step of installing the plugin, think the theme sucks, and they will lose users because of that little bit of confusion. But in the long tail is that they get to write better themes and kind of do it the right way, which for them is a better long-term strategy for all this. And so the same thing with this. This is why this is going to be my pick, is that this is the exact same model. They built their Gutenberg blocks in one plugin. Those blocks they will work on any Gutenberg site as much as a Gutenberg block can. They also wrote a theme that shows off how to best implement the blocks that they've built. And so you don't have to use their theme, but if you want to use their blocks, you do have to use their plugin. It really covers all bases really, really nicely. Even though it's extra work, even though they risk confusing users, it's the best way to do this, I think, hands down.
One of the things that confused me about the blocks that are in Atomic Blocks plugin is the drop cap, because I'm like, I swear, this is a drop cap is a default feature in Gutenberg, and I just checked, and it is. But maybe it's the way, I guess you could have a drop cap block and style it differently, so the drop cap will look differently, and maybe that's what it is.
Or maybe they built their own before there was one in Gutenberg, and right. Now you don't know. And that's what will eventually happen too, is some block will be so good and obvious that Gutenberg and core will just absorb it because it's that good. And then, you know, you end up with the same sort of way that Microsoft and Apple absorb all these really cool apps.
We have to create a new focus on track called Blocks or something. I don't know. I'm
surprised there isn't one.
There might be one yet already. Yeah. Who knows? Yeah. Who knows? I haven't checked. So there you go. Check it out. It's Atomic Blocks on WordPress.org. We have a link to the introduction post on AtomicBlocks.com. And they're going to actually work on publishing documentation and other blocks on that website. And so I just like the name too, Atomic Blocks.
I do too.
The Atomic part really is a homage, or it's like a shout out to the basis, the idea of the block content format in and of itself. So
it is very clever. I thought so too.
I liked it.
So I have a pick of the week, but it's not a WordPress related pick of the week. I'm going off topic. I'm going off the grid again.
All right.
So my pick of the week is a different open source piece of software called Phaser. Phaser.io is their website. And it is a desktop and mobile HTML5 game framework for building sprite-based games in a canvas using WebGL if you want to. And they come with a small, simple library that gives you all the structure and all the drawing tools and APIs and things that you need to preload assets, a physics engine, sprites, grouping, worlds, levels, animation, particle effects, cameras, lighting, sound. It does all of that. And you get this kind of relatively simple web-based game engine on GitHub for free. I mean, it's really cool. I played around with it for a little bit because, you know, in a past life, I really wanted to build video games and like video games and would like to try and tinker with playing around again. And so search the web for what was out there. And there are lots of other bigger, better, more popular frameworks for building games and cross-platform and everything else. But Phaser, to me, seems to be like the one that feels the nicest. They've got plugins, lots of examples, resources, a whole learning part on their site to educate people on how to use Phaser. It really is another community out in the world that has a bunch of passionate developers contributing to it, and it reminded me a lot of WordPress. And so I go off the grid, and that's my pick of the week. Is
I'm a big fan of Rocket League. I've invested a lot of time and hours into Rocket League, and it's a pretty cool game. And I watched a recent presentation a gentleman did at GDC, Game Developers Conference, and it was an hour long about the physics engine. What's behind it, how it works, the decisions they made, and the networking aspects of it all. And like, it really opened my eyes to understanding, why does the ball rubber band? Why does this happen? Why does that happen? And when he explains all the things that are going on with frames and running physics this time and all the corrections that are having to be done and authoritative servers and all these other aspects that go into it, I'm like, wow, you know, it's pretty interesting to learn how the game you enjoy playing so much has been developed, because it really makes you understand how things work a lot better.
And I really like video games for like using video games for kind of WordPress related metaphors and watching videos with developers.
I haven't noticed.
The reason I like it is because we could do a better job at what, at mirroring their approach to that. Like, a game developer understands, most game developers understand, that their job really is to keep you in the game glitch-free. You're not supposed to notice the physics engine. You're not supposed to notice all of the magic that is happening behind you. Hopefully, if they've done their jobs right, there are enough servers, there is enough redundancy, the game is responding quickly enough where anything that does happen to go wrong, you don't notice it. Whereas on the web, when we're building apps or websites or contributing to WordPress or anything else, we really do put a lot of expectation and weight and decision-making back on a user to say, this thing went wrong and you have to make the decision now. If a video game came to you and said, this game is broken, what do you want to do about it? The game itself is no longer enjoyable. And so I think WordPress gets less enjoyable when we ask a user to say, hey, tell us what to do with this problem that has happened. Like, we need to write plugins and themes in a way where if something goes wrong, we know how to fix that problem. And we get to celebrate that success with a user by saying, we identified a problem and we fixed it for you, and you don't have to worry about it anymore. And so there's just so much that the gaming development and players and streaming and users that the video game community has already accomplished and achieved that we could easily learn from all those examples. And Phaser, I think, is one of those.
WordPress needs a physics engine. That's what I
think. It's, for all of this shit.
There's an open source one out there that Rocket League uses. Actually, really? They didn't use the one built into the Unreal gaming engine. They used, it's called Bullet, and it's open source. Yeah. It's available on GitHub, and they actually use that and to power the physics engine, all the physical stuff in Rocket League. So there you go.
That's cool. So again, I want to try Phaser. I'm excited to try it.
Yeah, is that, really is that Phaser with an F or Phaser with a PH?
PH, PHASER.
That's actually my first guess.
Phaser.
Nowadays. You know,
and I love their website.
Word, it's got to be misspelled.
Their website is cute. I don't know. I like it. It's cool. Like, I wish I had time to play around with it. I want to make a mini game. I think it would be really cool to have like a WordPress dashboard widget mini game.
Yeah. Yeah, turn into an Easter egg or something. Or like, you know, when people access it, say, all your data now belong to me or something. I don't know.
No, that's scary.
All right. That's going to wrap it up for this. So we can go on and on and on and on here, but we don't want to do that. You can find show notes for this episode and all other episodes on wbtavern.com. And you can follow me on Twitter at Jeffro, JEFFR0. John, are you going to get that blog going again or what?
JJJ.blog. I'm having an existential crisis about where to direct people to. Not Twitter, not Facebook, not my AOL keyword.
Not your physical location.
Nope. I just want to take all of it off, put it all on my blog, my WordPress, my safe home on the web. I want nothing anywhere else.
Where can you follow John at? Well, John no longer exists. So, good luck.
Well, he bought a house out in the woods. Is off the grid, so good luck, I guess.
He pays for everything in cash. He has no plastic. He has no data online. You can't find him anymore. He doesn't exist.
That kind of is starting to sound better and better.
He used the GDPR, and now he lives in the woods.
I exported
like a bird.
Exported all of my data, and then I just
burn it in a big fire. Cook dinner on top of it. Which is like some buffalo you hunted or something. I don't know.
I appreciate that you're giving me that much credit to have actually killed my own dinner.
Well, actually,
Carrie would. Yeah, that's
all right. True. So let's wrap it up here. Everybody enjoy the rest of your week. We'll talk to you again next Wednesday afternoon for more WordPress goodness. So long, everybody. Say bye, John.
Bye, John. Bye, everybody.